We're going to continue with it yesterday. We're running through various halachos, a collection of yediyos relating to Rosh Hashanah and the Yomim Nerum. So yesterday we spoke about that, the whole bunch of things we spoke about yesterday about Baruch Shomea Tefillah, Baruch Atar, about the Hinani. We spoke about not being yoy, you cannot be Mikhaim, fulfill your obligation just by listening to the Shliach Tzibur. Okay, I'm going to run through something, try to go very quickly. Okay, interesting idea. Me'ikar hadin, when we daven mincha on Rosh Hashanah, do we recite Avinu Malkeinu? Do we recite Avinu Malkeinu by mincha on Rosh Hashanah? Of course we do, right? The only time you don't recite Avinu Malkeinu is only when it's Shabbos. Shabbos, then you deny recite Avinu Malkeinu, but when it's not Shabbos, you recite Avinu Malkeinu. Is that correct? Is it really required that we recite Avinu Malkeinu? So Rabbi Tezner goes into the sources and he says, it really depends if you daven mincha immediately after Musaf or you daven mincha later in the day. We know that today there are some people, they finish Musaf so late in the day, they immediately daven mincha, and then they go home and they eat. Is that the proper thing to do? So some say yes, some say no. There are mailos and chesroinos in both in halacha and hashkafa, of davening mincha immediately after musaf, both ways. But he says something very interesting, that me'ikar hadin, if you do daven mincha immediately after musaf, you're not mechuyev. It was never established to say avinu malkeinu. It's similar to aleinu. On Yom HaKippurim, do we recite aleinu after musaf?
No.
Do we recite aleinu after mincha? No. Why not? Because the only time you're supposed to recite Aleinu is when you leave the shul. If you're not leaving, do we on a regular Shabbos recite Aleinu after Shacharis?
No.
Why not? We daven Shacharis, we should say Aleinu. And then we daven Musaf, we should say Aleinu. How come we only say Aleinu after Musaf, then after Shacharis? The answer is, Aleinu was established to be said when you leave, when you are planning to leave the Beis HaKnesses. I've done mine, I've davened, and now my mind is elsewhere. I'm going to leave the Beis HaKnesses. What?
So if you're going to a simcha in another shul, you're going to be able to have a mitzvah, or you're going to create a tzedakah, which a lot of people do.
Yes. So should you say Aleinu when you finish Shacharis? It's a very good question. I don't know the answer.
Vigilance says every Shabbos Aleinu after Shacharis.
After Shacharis. Yes. Why? Do they have a break?
It closes.
Do they have? Do they learn? Like what about? Do they learn? Like the gerers,
yeah. But the thing.
Yeah.
It's the stuff of the tefillah. You finish the tefillah.
Okay, but the question, even though it's the stuff of the tefillah, but are you planning to leave the Beis HaKnesses? It's very commonly said in the first. The reason why we do not recite Aleinu on Yom Kippur, not after Musaf, and not after Mincha, is because Aleinu was only established to be said when you're planning to leave the Beis HaKnesses. On Yom Kippur, the minhag was not to leave. That's the way that we don't leave the Beis HaKnesses the whole Yom Kippur. And we go straight from Musaf into Mincha and into Te'ilah, and therefore, you're not leaving, so you don't say Aleinu. It is even though you're halacha l'maaseh, when you're davening Mincha and Ma'ariv together at night. This is brought down. We don't do it because the zmanim don't really work out. What?
But
let's say you have a situation where you daven mincha and ma'ariv together without any hefsek whatsoever. Me'ikar hadin, there's no requirement to recite Aleinu. If you're planning to daven mincha and ma'ariv together in one shot, after plag mincha, you'll tell me tarti the sashi, not tarti the sashi, you'll work out with the zmanim, whatever it is. You don't have to say Aleinu. Aleinu is only meant to be said when you leave the Beis HaKnesses. Let's say you're planning on saying Kiddush Levana. You daven ma'ariv, and then you're going to say Kiddush Levana. So if you're going to say Aleinu when you finish Kiddush Levana, there's really no need to say Aleinu when we finish Ma'ariv. We have the minute, we say Aleinu after we finish Ma'ariv, and then they give a clap, Kiddush Levana, you go outside, you say Kiddush Levana, and then you say Aleinu. In general, there's a whole question of why do you say Aleinu after Kiddush Levana? Some want to say the Aleinu that you say after Kiddush Levana is the Aleinu for Ma'ariv. Because when you daven ma'ariv, you're not supposed to, since you're not leaving the Beis HaKnesses, you're going to the chotzer, the court of the Beis HaKnesses, in order to say Kiddush Levana. So when you're saying Aleinu, when you finish Kiddush Levana, the Aleinu is really the Aleinu of ma'ariv, because you did not say Aleinu after ma'ariv when you're planning to say Kiddush Levana, because I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. I'm hanging around the Beis HaKnesses. I'm going into the courtyard. The courtyard of the Beis HaKnesses. Now, I know you'll tell me there are other reasons. People will tell me the reason why you say Aleinu is because you should not make a mistake and think that we're bowing down to the moon. Don't think that we're worshipping the moon. So we say, no, that's the common reason. You'll ask someone, why say Aleinu when you say Kiddush Levana? Because we know one should make a mistake and think that the moon is a deity. So we say Aleinu, where we bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one reason. But the possibly the more correct reason is that the Echanami, there's no need to say Aleinu when you say Kiddush Levana. When you say Aleinu when you bench, I bench Birchas HaMazon, and now I say Aleinu. It's ridiculous. You don't do that. You go to a wedding. After a wedding is over, you say Aleinu. You go to a Pidyon HaBen, you say Aleinu. You go to a Bris Milah, it's part of davening. Normally it's part of davening. And in Echanami, Ein Echanami, possibly, the reason why you say Aleinu after a bris meal is because you did not say Aleinu after Shacharis. Since we're not going anywhere. We finished davening. The moil, he said it'll be 5 minutes later. We got a text. He's on the way. He'll be here in 5 minutes. No one's leaving. If no one's leaving, so you don't say Aleinu. Aleinu is meant to be said when you leave the Beis HaKnesses. When you finish the Bris Milah, now we're leaving. Now we're going to go to the meal. We're going to go to the Suda. We're going to go here, go there. Now you say Aleinu. For some reason, we say Aleinu after Shacharis, and Aleinu again after the Bris Milah. Aleinu after Ma'ariv, and Aleinu after Kiddush Levana.
Not everybody stays for the Bris.
Okay, so maybe that's why it became that. Maybe that's the reason why the minhag has changed. Or maybe it changed due to ignorance. Whatever it is, but it appears that this appears to be a pattern, a very strong pattern, that Aleinu is only said when you leave the Beis HaKnesses. I'm only using this as an example to explain that the same thing is true for Avinu Malkeinu. Avinu Malkeinu is only said once. It's only said once in a setting of tefillah. You don't have to say Avinu Malkeinu a million times when you daven. Once. If you're not leaving the Beis HaKnesses, you say it once and you're done. Did you say Avinu Malkeinu by Shacharis? Yes. So now you daven Musaf, and now you daven Mincha. You don't say Avinu Malkeinu again. We already said it by Shacharis. If you said Avinu Malkeinu by Shacharis, and you did not leave the Beis HaKnesses, and now you daven Musaf, and now you davening Mincha, why are you saying Avinu Malkeinu again? You didn't say it already? It's not a part of Mincha. The Shmoyne Esrei, Mincha is made up of Ashrei, Kaddish, Shmoyne Esrei, and Kaddish Tiskaba. That is Mincha. No one ever made up to say Avinu Malkeinu during Mincha. Avinu Malkeinu is something that you say, you add to the tefillah, being part of, appeared in the tefillah. If you said it once, you're done. There's no need to say it again. If you said it during Shacharis, you don't say it during Mincha. Unless you went home. I Shacharis, Musaf, I go home, I have a Su'uda, I come back. Oh, you're coming back. Today is the second time you've come to the Beis HaKnesses. Oh, it's a new event. A new event demands that you say Avinu Malkeinu separately. So again, we don't do this. The Minhag Yisrael is, even if we daven Mincha immediately after Musaf, it's the Minhag Yisrael to recite Avinu Malkeinu, but we should appreciate that it's not really required. It's not really required to say Avinu Malkeinu if you have not left the Beis HaKnesses. Okay, no.
One point. Regarding Ron Shabayan.
Okay, you're already going to talk.
Nobody.
Let's go for it. Okay, next. Let's go to the next thing.
I have a question. I want to say no.
He said, stop it.
You say yesterday that Yeshua and Achan this Rosh Tevot. I heard that Alin Shabaya is as a witness. Ayin, and the end is Dal, is Ed.
Aid.
Okay. And Ayin, Dal, is Ed.
We are twice. Two witnesses. I never heard that. Beautiful.
Witnessing.
Alenu is an Ayin. The last one is Ayin, Od is a Dalit. Alkain is an Ayin. And the last word is Dal Echad. Very nice. Two witnesses. Beautiful, beautiful. I never heard it. I want to write that down. I got to write that down to remember. Beautiful, beautiful Vart. Okay, next. Tashlich. Run to the basic. He says Tashlich. When do we go to Tashlich?
Jewish discrimination. Discrimination should be here in the learning of Kulel. Why discrimination?
Discriminate against
the Ram. Banging. Oh, hey. Not nice. You are Rosh Hashanah coming. Why are you going to like this? Because I'm Persian. See, I am crazy. It's okay. Not better than anybody. Why are you asking me?
Mike,
take
care.
Shut up.
All right. Next, Tashlich. Tashlich. When do you say Tashlich? Svayda, when do you say Tashlich? When do the Persians say Tashlich?
No, I have no question to answer. When I have a question, I'm asking.
Okay, Tashlich. When do you say Tashlich? The first day. Tashlich is to be said the first day. It appears, there is Akpada. Now, it appears that the more you learn about Tashlich, the more you realize it's all Kabbalah. It's all about, it's all a Kabbalah. It's not, it's a very interesting thing. We think, oh, you're Tashlich, they're Psukim. It appears to be a very Kabbalistic type of thing to do, to go to a body of water and say Tashlich. It's almost as if you're going to a... what is the most Kabbalistic thing you would think about doing? You put a red thing around your arm, right? So most of us wouldn't do that. Most of us, where we come from, we don't do that. That's not our tradition. It's Kabbalah. We don't know from these things. The truth is, everything about Tashlich is pure Kabbalah. It really is. And that is why the Gra didn't say Tashlich, period. Zero. Nothing. The Chai Adam does not bring down the minig of Tashlich. Okay, people complained about kaparis, about shechting birds, about birds, this whole thing. You put the thing around you, zeh, tacha, zeh. Tashlich is even greater Kabbalah. It's rooted in matters that are even more Kabbalistic than doing kaparis. And that's why the Chai Adam, who is a mechutin with the Gra, does not even bring down in the whole Chai Adam, there's such a minhag called Tashlich. And the Gra, they record, he himself did not say Tashlich. So those who can't deal with that, it's just too hard to deal with, they try to say, no, it does just means he didn't go to Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah, but he went to Tashlich during the Aseres he made Tshuva, and the people who have done research says, no, you're making a mistake. The Gra didn't do Tashlich, period. Zero. Nothing about it. Why? Because it's rooted in very deep, deep Kabbalistic things which are not for the average person. And the Gra, we all know, was not a public advocate of Kabbalah. The Gra knew everything there is to know about Kabbalah. We all know that. But the Gra did not approve of Kabbalah for the Hamoin Am, for the masses. He felt that it was something which the Hasidim have taken hold of and doing in Yoni Kabbalah was a support to what he felt was an extreme that Klal Yisrael was not ready for. So he did not go to do Tashlich at all. Now being okay. Okay, now being that we know that Tashlich is Kabbalah, we can appreciate much more when you look in the Mepharshim where they're very demanding exactly when to do Tashlich. I remember this even in the Young Israel. I always wondered about this, is that it's supposed to be done after Mincha on the first day. Bedafka. I always wondered about, what's the big deal? They make a schedule. You have Shachris. What? No, Shabbos, you can't do it then.
Right.
Shabbos, you don't do it. But if it's not Shabbos, it's the first bedafka the first day and bedafka after Mincha. And as a child, I remember this: is that in the schedule it was very set. The minig was today we lost flavor in only a short period of time. We've lost flavor for a lot of these minhagim. It was very kavua. You go Shachris Musaf, you then go to you go home. You have a seuda. You then go bidafka to Mincha. Even though it would be more convenient first to go to Tashlich and then come back for Mincha and Maariv, no. There's a hakpada. You go to Mincha first, and after Mincha, you go to Tashlich. And then you come back to Shul for Maariv. Why? Why is that? That used to takabi. That's what it says you're supposed to do. And I remember in the Young Israel, the calendar was like that. And then people started, why have late mincha, make an early mincha? What's the reason? And no one really knew the reason. So we started having multiple minyanim for mincha out of convenience. But the truth was, the reason why there was bedafka a mincha at 4 o'clock. And it was scheduled in a certain way was because that's the way it's supposed to be. The people who made the calendar, Shalom Kadmonius, knew exactly what they were doing. That's the Ikardin. Why? it all hakol hoylech el makoyim echad. We really don't know what Hashlach is all about. It's all in Yonei Kabbalah. You go to a body of water, and in the body of water, you say the last three pesukim in Sefer Micha, what we lay on Yom Kippur, the Haftarah from Yom Kippur, Shabbat Shuvah, Mi Kel Kamoicha, No Se Ovon Vi Oiver Al Pesha, L'She'eris Nachlaso, Loi Hechzik L'Arapoi, the Chofetz Chesed Hu. There are three Pesukim, there are three Pesukim at the end of Sefer Micha. In these three Pesukim, it is alluded to the Yud Gimel Midois Harachamim. And believe me, it's very, very hard to connect the dots, to connect these last three Pesukim to the Yud Gimel Midois Harachamim. First, you'll be challenged to figure out what are the Yud Gimel Midois Harachamim, because there are so many different opinions in the Rishonim what exactly are the Yud Gimel Midois Harachamim. And then if you're so lucky to figure out which ones are the Yud Gimel Midois Harachamim, to somehow match them up to these last three Pesukim. It's very challenging, and that is, okay, but that's what it is. The bottom line is, even though it may be Yoni Kabbalah and Rudin Kabbalah, it's the Minog Yisrael to go to Tashlich. Let's make no mistake about it. Don't start changing just because the Gra didn't go and the Chayon didn't go. We go to Tashlich. L'chadchila, the ideal time to go, of course, on Rosh Hashanah, after Yidave Mincha. You can't go after Yidave Mincha. Let's go before you go anytime. Anytime on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And the Iker is not to say the Yehi Ratzoyns. Though they have the article, they have loads, long Yirat signs. That's not the Ikar. The Ikar is to say Gezuntah. The Ikar is to say the three Pesukim with Kavana. To say the last three Pesukim of Sefer Micha with Kavana. If you can spend some time reading the commentary and trying to see how those last three Pesukim allude to the Yud, Gimel, Midoy, Sarachim, that is the Ikar. And what are the Ta'amim that are given? So some say it's because that when they would coronate a Melech, they did it by a Mayan, by a spring, as a Simon Toif, Mayan Toif. That the same way a spring goes on, the waters are forever, they continue to flow, the Malchus should continue to flow. It is symbolic that Hashem's Malchus is Li'olam. So that means you should go L'chadchila to a spring where the water flows. Other, the Maril. The Maril, for some reason, does not quote this Medrash that talks about a Melech, but rather the Maril says another Medrash of the Akedah. The Akedah, Avram Avinu, he brought Yitzhak to the, when he went to the Akedah, the Satan tried to prevent him by drowning Avram in a river. He tried, there was an impediment, there was a river, and Avram Avinu, he walked in the river and the water came up until his neck. And Bohu Mayim Ad Nofesh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to intervene and cause the waters to split or some miracle to happen in order to prevent Avram and Yitzhak from drowning in the waters as he was making his way to Har Hamaria, to the Akedah. Avram Avinu was Moiser Nefesh to go to the Akedah. Forget about actually doing the Akedah. There was a Mesiras Nefesh in trying to reach the location of the Mokoyim Asher, the Mokum where Hashem wanted him to do the Akedah. To reenact this, we go to a body of water. That's the two basic reasons. A spring is a Mokum where Hashem, where you coronate a Melech. So, and or the minig to reenact the Mesiras Nefesh of Avraham Avinu. It's the minig, of course, the minig is to empty out your pockets. Even if there's nothing in your pocket. You empty out your pocket, it's symbolic, it's saying, oh, I'm throwing out all of my averos, turning over a new leaf, a new year. You empty your pockets. Some have the minhag to feed the fish. Now, are you allowed to do that? No, because you're not allowed to feed creatures that you have no obligation to feed. If they are yours and their mizoinos is upon you, then of course you're allowed to feed them on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But if you have no obligation, you do not own these creatures, and you have no obligation to feed them, you're not allowed to feed an animal, a stray animal on Shabbos. They have the same issue when it comes to giving out food to the birds on Shabbos, Parshas, Bishalach, Shabbos, Shira, in recognition that the birds saved Klal Yisrael from a problem by taking away the mon that Dosan Va'avirim distributed in order to undermine Moshe Rabbeinu. Other Paiskim disagree, and they say you are allowed to feed the fish because you're doing it for a purpose. Just like you're allowed to feed your animals, if you have pets, because you have an obligation to support them, to feed them. I'm not just feeding the fish for no reason whatsoever. I'm feeding the fish to be mekayim the minog of feeding the fish. Why do we feed the fish? Why then would there be a minog? Is to show, look at Kadosh Baruch Hu, just like we do chesed with these creatures, these fish, we're doing chesed, Hashem do chesed with us. We are no different than fish. If the fish, we're engaged in an act of kindness to feed your creatures, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in turn, should have rachmanis upon us and sustain and support us. It makes an impression upon a person when you do these type of things. It reminds me of what I saw in one of the Sfarim, is that there was, I don't remember who it was, one of the Gedolei Yisrael, pre-war Europe. He was very insistent that they should plant around the Beis Medrash trees, even though this whole is Shiloh, you're allowed to have a tree around the outside of the Beis Medrash. He demanded they should plant some type of vegetation around the outside of the Beis Medrash. And he said, when the Talmidim walk into the Beis Medrash every day and they see growth, they see on the outside the grass grows, they see the plants grow, the trees grow, fruit grows, it makes an impression that there's something called godless, there's something called growth in this world. And when we walk into the Beis Medrash, maybe it'll impress upon them that just like outside in the Bria there's growth, there's also growth in Yirah Shamayim and Torah. When they come into the Beis Medrash, they should also grow. What you see on the outside makes an impression upon the Panemius. So some hold that there's no prohibition to feed the fish. Okay, it is what it is. If you cannot do it during Rosh Hashanah, then you can do it anytime during the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah until Yom HaKippurim. If you can't do it by Yom HaKippurim, you can do it until Hoshana Rabbah. In fact, I always go Hoshana Rabbah, and there are a lot of people. It's a big event. It's very nice. I enjoy it. And if you can't do it before Hoshana Rabbah, you can do it until Chanukah. It's never too late. After Chanukah, I don't know if there's an end of going to Kippur. What?
The lake freezes.
Now, the Ish of Chaim Kinievsky, if you can, now, we all know, I remember when I was a child, I came to Flatbush, I used to live in the Lower East Side. So it was a big event, you go there to the drive, you go out to the drive, right, FDR, you have the river there, it's very, very nice. I came to Flatbush, there's no river in Flatbush, I remember the first year I was in Flatbush, and we went to Lubavitch on Ocean Parkway. Boy, was I disappointed when I saw what was going on there. This little teeny pond, there's nothing of nothing. Okay, there was nothing there. Like, what? How does this compare to the drive in the Lower East Side? Yeah?
Rabbi Levine, if I remember correctly, Herr Steinberg told
Yeah?
He says he opens up his kitchen.
Okay. Open up the kitchen. So therefore, if you can't go to a body of water, the next best thing, you have a question, very short. Yeah. What you give, you get back. You give the fish, you support.
Feeding the fish is mitzvah. And
what you give, you get back. You give bread to the fish. That's why you mekayim this pasuk. If you are generous, what you're giving it back. Rabbi Sai, please. Rabbi Sai. Now, I think so. I believe he did go. I believe he did go. Onto the drive, he did go. Okay? Gedolei Yisrael, they were mocked, they did go. It's a big thing to go. It's not a simple thing just to push away. The Gedolei went. Of course, they're talking about Taruvis, a social event. I remember on the Lower East Side, it was a big social event. No question about it. Okay? And over here in Flatbush, Noshe Park, it was also a big social event. It was also a big, now, what about if you cannot go to a river? Is it Kedai? So what's next? So if they have a pond, a fish tank, any body of water, do you need? You don't really need fish. A body of water, can you open up your faucet, your tap water? Some say yes. I think they say the best thing to do if you cannot go to a body of water, get a load of this, go to a mikvah. Go to a mikvah. Mikvah is better. It's better than going to opening up your faucet. What?
Can't make a bracha in a mikvah.
What bracha? What bracha? What bracha? Oh, so you say you can't say the psukim. Oh, no, he's saying a very good point. He's saying something very good. Saki taka, right. You're not allowed to say a pasuk, the psukim. You're right. So what does the taka mean then? So I would imagine you're saying very good. I would imagine what it means is you go into the mikvah and you give a look. and then you go outside, or vice versa. For example, Tfilas Kalim. Right, if you go to be Tovel Kalim in a regular mikvah where men are Tovel, the halach is the mikvah is the status of a Beis HaMerchatz. And you're right, you're not allowed to make the bracha Tfilas Kalim in the merchah, in the mikvah. What you're supposed to do is you say the bracha outside, and without delay, you make all the preparations, you take off your shoes, and you roll up your pants, if you're going to go down a little bit, and you take off all the paper from the box, and you have to clean, and make sure the mikvah is open, of course, and everything is ready to go. And then you make the bracha outside when the door is closed, and you go in, and you're toivel. Even if no one is in the mikvah. The mikvah today has the status of Beis HaMerchatz, and you're not allowed to make a bracha in the mikvah. So you're asking an excellent question, how can you say the psukim with Hashem's name in the mikvah? So I'm assuming what it means is you say the psukim outside, and then you go inside to give a look, or vice versa. You go inside, you give a look, and you go outside, and you say the psukim. The question, what should you do? The answer is Rav Chaim, he brings up Rav Chaim Kanief, they ask, what should you have a choice? I can go to a river, to a mayon, during the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, or I can go turn on my faucet on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, turn on my faucet or go to a mikvah, or one of these things which is a far cry from going to a mayan. So you'll be shocked to know that Rav Chaim Kanievsky says you should turn on your faucet or go to a mikvah on Rosh Hashanah better than go to the mayan on during the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah. The Iker Zman to do Tashlich is on the first day Rosh Hashanah. It's a Kabbalistic thing. It's the most Kabbalistic thing that we do the entire year. And that means that we have no clue as to why, what, where, and how. We try to give reasons for it, but we really don't understand. But one thing is for certain, the Iker Zman is on Rosh Hashanah, and therefore, even if it's a B'diev, you can't do it the ideal way to do it, it's still, to me, it doesn't have to do it twice. What's the big deal? You're saying a pasuk, you're saying the psukim, why can't you go do it twice? You can do it if you have time. You can say it on Rosh Hashanah, you'll pass by on the way home, you'll pass by someone's a nice fish tank, you go to a fish tank. I think the different Gedolim, fish tank. A fish tank is also good. I think they made certain gedolim, they actually brought for them a fish tank for Rosh Hashanah. They brought into their house a fish tank for Rosh Hashanah in order to say, to do tashlich. It's right. You don't even need a pool. You don't even need fish. You just need a body of water. Fish or whatever, because that's the time. Okay, let's go further. Next topic of discussion. Next topic is, okay, Tehillim. Okay, there's a minute to say Tehillim on Yom on Rosh Hashanah, to say the entire Tehillim, if you have time. Tehillim in the morning, Tehillim twice. Tehillim on the first day, and the entire Tehillim on the second day. Next, let's talk about the Piyutim. Lekel Oirech Din. When do you say the Piyut of Lekel Oirech Din on the second day? Everyone is always confused about this. There's a Piyut called Badin B'Yoyim Din. Lekel Oirech Din. Everyone says Lekel Oirech Din the first day during Shachris. The big dilemma is, when do you say Lekel Oirech Din on the second day? Most of the Machzorim have it printed during Shachris as well, but they have a notation that some people say it during Musaf. And I used to daven Chaim Berlin, and I remember there in the early years they always said it during Shachris on the second day, and then they switched. When there was a new chazan, there's a new Baal Tfila. New Baal Tfila took over, so he first continued tradition. He did what the old chazan did, and then he had a discussion with the Baal Shachris, and there was a debate where it really belongs. And the conclusion was they took it away from Shachris. And they now do it during Musaf. They changed to doing it during Musaf. And why? What's it all about? So the answer, so basic answer is, there's a machlokes in the Gemara, when is the moment of din? Is the moment of din during the first 3 hours of the day? Or is the moment of din the second part of the day, until Chatzos? Therefore, as a peshara, since we do not know, since this period emphasizes the din, it's a very solemn piyut, We say it very, very, very. People don't sing very much. Now, it's not very common to have nigunim for lekel aruch din. And even if you do have a nigun, it's usually a very slow, solemn nigun. It's a very serious nigun of the Yoyim Hadin. So there's a machloikis, the Gemara is the Yoyim Hadin, the beginning of the day, or towards the second half of the day. And therefore, as a peshara, one day we say it during Shacharis to indicate lekel aruch that the din is during the time of Shacharis, and the second day, those who say it during Musaf on the second day, they say it during Musaf to indicate that like the other opinion in the Gemara, that the moment of din that takes place in the second during Musaf, like when you blow tekiyos after 3 hours of the day, it's in recognition of a machlokes in the Gemara and Masechta Rosh Hashanah, the moment of din. This is one answer. Another answer is very just pragmatic. Nothing more than pragmatic. There are very few piyutim for Musaf on the second day. And Shacharis is a very long Shacharis. Shacharis, the second day, Rosh Hashanah, is very, very long. There are many piyutim and they're very, very long. In order to balance the piyutim, just a matter of practicality, to balance the piyutim, there's almost nothing to say during the second day. So we take away a piyut from Shacharis and we give it to Musaf in order to balance the piyutim. Nothing to do with the din is 3 hours, late 3 hours. Just practical consideration. Okay, those are the beard. That's something to be aware of. That we all know. Sometimes there's a little bit of confusion as to when to say the piyut lekel orech din. Okay, let's now talk about a little bit briefly about Hataras Nedarim Erev Reish Hashanah. Minigis imater neder, because the choymer of making a neder. Chazal say rachmanu litzlan, a person can die. Ba'avoyin nedarim, a person's rachmanu, so his children, his wife can die. It's a davar chomer ma'oy. Therefore, we're knowing to be mater neder erev reish Hashanah. And our nusach of ataras nedarim is a very elaborate. But we have to understand that we basically break all the rules when we matter neder erev Rosh Hashanah. We matter neder even with shloisha hedyotos, three people that don't even know the first thing about the laws of nedarim. You can be matter neder with three dayanim who are your relatives, kroivim, and you can even be matter neder at night. You can't do it in the morning. You can be matter neder at night. Why are we so lenient in regard if you're going to do matir neder, do it the real way, do it for real? The answer is, you only matir neder for nedarim that you do not know about. That's the answer. It's a very important thing to be aware of. The hataras nedarim that we make on Erev Rosh Hashanah does not help for a real neder that you are aware of. If you are aware that you've done something three times and you did not say b'li neder, and you've done this, and you or you mamish or makabel to do something with the neder, then the hataras nedarim that you recite erev Rosh Hashanah does not work. You have to call over three people who are not your relatives. One of them at least should be aware of some of the basic laws of hataras nedarim, and you have to tell him exactly what the neder is, and tell him that you have charata. I didn't know how difficult it was, or Pesach. You say, had I known this, I would not have done that. I would have not have been in it. You have to know, we have to go through all the details now. You have to tell them the laws. So the rule of thumb is, that Taras Nedarim Erev Rosh Hashanah is only effective for Nedarim that you don't know about. That maybe, possibly, you have cobbled upon yourself to make a neder. Or your conduct is such that, according to halacha, it now becomes a neder, and therefore you need to be mad to the neder in order that you should not be nichshol in violating your neder. But if you do know for a fact that you have something upon yourself, a real neder that you are responsible for, then hataras nedarim will not work. You have to go and do it the real way. You have to talk to your rabbi exactly how to be mad to neder lehalacha. Only nedarim that you do not know about. Next question. Do nashim need to do hataras nedarim? So if you have a daughter or granddaughter in high school or in seminary, then they're okay, because they're certainly going to do it there. Okay, there in the girls' schools, they do hataras nedarim for all the girls. They come into a big auditorium, and they all say the nusach together, and the rebbeim, they respond, They say the response. They do it all in one shot. They do that. I think all the girls' schools, my sisters told me they do this. They do this. The girls' schools, they're mater neder for the girls. Because girls, women also have the same obligation to be mater neder like men. What happens if you're out of school and you're working and you can't, and you don't see, we've never seen in shul. We've never seen it. You've never seen in shul women, Erev Rosh Hashanah, coming and doing Ataras to Dharma. I've never seen it. Yeah. During Dharma, you've seen it? Okay, what?
I read a big tshuva.
Do you do it? So it's a very big issue. So the Poiskim, they struggle with this. And the basic answer is they say that women rely upon Kol Nidre. We do it, we want to do it before Rosh Hashanah because we're nervous. So we do it really twice. Erev Rosh Hashanah and the beginning of Yom Kippur. We do it twice. Kol Nidre is basically Ataras Nedarim. It's the same exact thing, Kamat. It's a little bit more powerful. It's a little bit different. They're different things. But basically, it's the same thing. So Nashim, they don't do their Rosh Hashanah. They rely upon Hataras Nedarim for Erev Yom HaKippurim. And that is sufficient. However, some say it's not. They should really do it. Not every woman even can go to shul for a Kol Nidre. Many women are home with children. So what do they do? So the best thing to do is, so some just don't do it. The world will go on. The world, what?
The husband can be
made. So the question is, could the husband do it? First of all, a husband cannot be made for his wife's neder. Ishtoi ki gufa. Even this is a suffix. A father can have his three sons be matter his neder. Erev Rosh Hashanah. Because it's only things that you don't know about. But a husband cannot be matter his wife's, cannot be part of the team. Let's say the wife wants to be matter neder. And she calls her sons, or two sons and her husband. The husband cannot be part of the Beis Din Erev Rosh Hashanah to be matter neder for the wife. Ishtoi kigufai. She can use her three sons, but her husband cannot be part of the three that are matter neder. So the next best thing is if a woman wants, she tells her husband. If she doesn't do it, she doesn't do it. The world will go on. It's only nedarim you do not know about. A woman can assume that she did not make a neder. If she made a neder, then she has to take care of it. But if she doesn't, since the whole hataras nedarim is only for nedarim that you do not know about, if you don't know, you don't know. So the world will go on. If she was nervous, or even some say lechatchila, the husband, after he recites his entire nusach, before the people respond, before they respond, what's the response? After they know the response, how does it be in the response? So before they say their paragraph, you say, everybody says, stop, don't say it yet. I want to add, I'm a shliach for my wife. I'm a shliach for my wife. I'm a shliach. I'm a shliach for my wife. I'm a shliach for my wife. That's what you should say. And then when they say Hakol Mutarim Lachol Shrim Lach Ein Kan, it goes also for the wife. Okay, this is something which we don't really see. I've never seen this, but that's what it says.
The tshuva that I read said that she has to ask you to do it. She has to appoint you a shliach.
Right, she has to point you in that it's not so simple you can make someone a shliach to be matan neder. Only a husband can make someone a shliach, be a shliach for a wife. You, an individual, if you cannot go to the Beis HaKnesses, person not feeling well, I can't go Erev Rosh Hashanah davening, there's no such thing as making someone a shliach to be matan my neder. It doesn't exist. But a husband can, because ishtoi kigufoi.
Right, so an almana cannot do anything?
Almana has a problem, that's correct.
Right.
Almana has a very big problem. So that's why she goes to Kol Nidre. The solution is they rely upon Kol Nidre. If they can't go to Kol Nidre, they're at home, they can't go to Kol Nidre, so whatever. So then whatever, someone comes over, what? Come to the house. In fact, you don't have to say the whole long nusach. There's a short nusach. Okay? There's a very, in fact, Rav Chaim, who composed it? Rav Steinman. Zechet Tzach Levracha, he composed a two-liner. He summarized the whole Kol Nidre into two lines, and in fact, he told the Talmidim in the yeshiva, in his yeshiva, you don't have to say the whole Nusach, you just say these two lines. You don't have to go. You don't have to go do the entire thing. Not Yechidus. You have to have three people. You have to have three people. A woman, no, she needs three people. A woman needs three people to be matter her Nidarim. Three people. She doesn't have to say the whole Nusach. She can even just say in English, I want to be matan neder. And the men say, mutluch, 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 you're done. If a woman just says to run three people and one of them and they respond mudalach, mudalach, it's also just as good. The nusach that we have is a very elaborate nusach. It's more Kabbalistic. It alludes to kapar and shemayim, all these Kabbalistic things, but it's not really what is necessary. Okay, it's interesting that the Svardin, the Eidus HaMizrach, they have a minhag with the matah, they do Ataras Nedarim on 40 days before Rosh Hashanah, which means not Rosh Chodesh Elul, 10 days, very strange, 10 days, the 20th day of Elul, of Chodesh Av, is when the matah neder. I don't know where this comes from, I have no clue. And then again, and the Matan Neder again on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and then called Nidre. They have a very interesting minute in Matan Neder 40 days before Rosh Hashanah, which is the 20th day of Chodesh Av. Maybe. Okay. One more thing, because I want to talk about Rav Chavetz Chaim, and I want to talk about a little drush. Let's just discuss one more thing. Going to sleep. Are you allowed to sleep on Rosh Hashanah? It says in Chazal, Hayoshein b'Rosh Hashanah, Gam Mazlo Yoshein. If you go to sleep on Rosh Hashanah, then your mazel will also be asleep. It's a time of din, and it's not to your benefit. Are we makbid on this halacha l'maisa? So, basically, no. We're not makbid on this. L'chadchilo, you should try your very best not to nap before chatzos. So that's not so hard. Chatzos is about 1 o'clock, 1:15. What?
You're still in shul,
right? So therefore, since the din goes until 1 o'clock, and therefore during the time of din until 1 o'clock, therefore a person should try his best not to nap before 1:15. After 1:15, so if you really want to be machmir, so there are people that are definitely machmir. They're very, very careful. They're mazel. They want to play around. They don't go to sleep. Others are mekel. They say that the Arizal went to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. He was tired. Now, let me explain to you something, Rabbi Yisai. What the Arizal dreamt during those moments that he went to sleep on Rosh Hashanah is more what the average person learned his entire life.
Right.
So don't bring a raya from the Arizal going to sleep on Rosh Hashanah after Chatzos. His type of sleep is more awake when he slept than when we are the most awake we've ever been our entire life. So I don't know if it's a raya from the Arizal that he went to sleep on Rosh Hashanah after Chatzos. However, there are many Gedolei Yisrael, one after another. The records, one after another, I don't remember the names. They took a nap. They were just tired. They took a short nap on Rosh Hashanah after Chatzos. They were not makbid. They're not makbid. They probably don't even lie down on the bed. No, it says they mamish. They went to lie down. Mamish. They went to mamish lie down after Chatzos. They were tired. They went to lie down. And they say Yoshin. When it means Yoshin, doesn't mean mamish to go to sleep. It means kol hayoyshev botel ki Yoshin dami. A person that's yoyshev botel. That's the true sleep. If you're going to sit around and talk Narishkeit and Lashon Hara and talk about things which are totally not relevant to the Yom HaDin and lead to levity in the Yonei Diyoma, that is the real sleeping. If you're going to take a nap because you need koyach to daven tomorrow, to daven tomorrow like a mensch, daven minch like a mensch, that's not called Yoshev Batel. And that's not called Yoshein. So therefore, the ikar is not to violate being yoyshev botel. Every moment of the yom hadin is precious. It should be used for something good. If that good happens to be to take a nap for an hour or two in order to replenish your strength so you can daven better tomorrow and daven better mincha and ma'ariv, that's not called sleeping. That's not called being yoyshev botel. Okay, so these are the basic parameters. We're very makel. It seems all the poskim are very makel, certainly after Chatzos. And also the second day, even more makel. The first day is the more of a Yom HaDin. So the Madregas are, before Chatzos the first day, better not. After Chatzos the first day, as long as it's for a good kavana. First doesn't really need to sleep. You better do something productive. The person is tired. You have to, so you go take a nap. It's okay. And the second day, even more makel. The second day after Chatzos, for sure, and even before Chatzos, the poskim. And the proof is, many of the biggest Gedolei Yisrael are on record as have gone been taking a nap on Rosh Hashanah. They were very exhausted from the intense avodah of the day. We're going to take now a very, very short break. And we're going to talk about Chaim for a moment and talk about, just tell you a vard in honor of the Yemei Hadin.
First of all, I begin Mechila for everybody.
For Chaim Dov, your name?
They had it two times.
For Chaim
Dov, real name.
Ben?
Ben Risa Shashai. Yeah.
Okay, we'll do, and we'll start, we'll say for my okay.
In Baruch, I didn't do. First of all, above the Rebbe never slept. Very simple. We finished like 5:30. Then if you teach, I don't have to do it. Without Mincha. But I'm going to say, the ninth day of Baruch, or eighth day, people didn't walk in traffic park. They stopped and said something because you can see the water. Never heard that?
Yeah.
Eighth Avenue is in 49th Street Bar.
They can see the water?
They okay. Say because it's the
high point. The used to walk to the for years. Lubavitcher Rebbe used to go originally to Prospect Park. Then they put up a little pond in the backyard.
I never knew that. I had three fish at one time. I could have called that. I took in a rebel. I came from my house. I had one fish left. Because we go to MZ.
What?
If I should
have.
Here. He did business.
When the fish is going to eat the abonot?
When the guys went?
He went. It was the crowd had basically dispersed, and that's when he went. He went with a few people later in the afternoon, not like when people went 2, 3, or 4 o'clock. He didn't go till after 5. Yeah, he went later in the day so that the crowds emptied out.
Couldn't you see from his window?
Actually, he could.
From his window?
From his window, he could.
Used to go also.
Yeah, he looked out on
I don't think
the
sheep
on
the
window.
They don't have a virus to throw. They don't have a virus to throw.
Abek used to go to the social event. I saw him coming.
Lubavitcher also went to the bench. They spread out and they pushed everyone was gone.
When they saw his shul coming.
Bavur, Shabineder, Atsibar, Mispalim, Bavur, Sazak, the Sparkly, Mali, Lachim, Allah, Lachim, Ulach, Sai, Ulach, Sikai, Ulach, Sai, Yishlach, Loy, the Hero, the Fuah, Shem, the Shmain, the Ramach, the Rav, the Shisun, the Dog, the Sol, Sharkly, Israel, the Fuah, San Nefesh, the Fuah, San Guf, Hashta, Bagalog, the Zman, Kodin, the Neymar, okay, Rabbi Yisrael, let's continue. Today is a very special day. is the yard site of, when it was turned on, the Chofetz Chaim. Zecher Tzalik Levracha Zuchus Yogin Aleinu. Let me just turn this on. How do we turn this on? Here it is.